If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Life's Key 3 for Kids podcast episode. This is where we focus a little bit more on some of the teaching that I do on Tuesdays, or sometimes it might not be related at all, but this is where it's a shorter episode that focuses on helping parents and maybe even educators to apply principles on a very practical level as you are raising and educating and working with kids. On Tuesday's episode, we looked at some of the lessons from Nehemiah chapter 2, and specifically in terms of how to prepare for conversations where you need someone else's approval or blessing or cooperation. And then also, how do we accept help, the importance of accepting help. And then third, expecting resistance and preparing for it when we are going to set about changing the status quo or doing something that God has put on our heart to do. All of these things apply to kids. It doesn't matter whether they are 2 or they are 22. These things apply because these are aspects of all of life. As we go through life, we don't ever really get to the point that we don't need someone else's cooperation in some aspect of life. Accepting help is something that we have to navigate through our entire life if we are going to be healthy individuals. And then also expecting and preparing for resistance when we are going to step out and do the things that God has called and gifted us with the ability to do. Those are just going to happen throughout all of life. But looking especially at children, how do we apply some of these things for kids? Well, I'm going to go out of order just a little bit, and I'm going to talk about accepting help. We need to teach our kids that it is not just okay, but it's necessary to accept help. Now, I totally get and understand, like for the 2-year-old who says, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself, whatever it is, even if it means I'm going to ride a bike that is 3 ages too big for me, but I'll climb on and I'll do it myself. There is absolutely a part of that that we want to honor. We want to be able to have kids to learn to be empowered. And the only way that they do that is not because we stand around and we pat them on the head and tell them how awesome they are. True empowerment comes by tackling hard things and working through them and accomplishing them. That's how true empowerment is developed in us as human beings. But we do want to say there is a time and a place to have help. And this is sometimes where we live in this culture that has so many different messages about help. And one of the specific areas where I have seen this do a lot of harm in my experience as a teacher is when kids get to certain ages and parents begin to say, oh, my kid doesn't need any help because they're handling all of that on their own. Let me say something here as it relates to your child's education, whether they're in public, private, or homeschool. I absolutely believe that children need to become responsible for themselves. So you have to hear this in context. But there is a danger when you have a so-called high-performing child who just becomes so independent and they like, I don't need your help. I've got this. And they may have it in the sense that they're doing their work and they're getting good grades. But I have seen this happen over and over again, where it fosters a mindset that says, I'll do it on my own. I don't accept any kind of help. Well, that sets a person up to fail in the long term of life. So whatever ages your kids are, if you see in their life where it's a matter that they're like, I don't need help. I've got this. I don't mean in just every single little area. You don't want to become paranoid about this. But overall, if you see a significant part of their life, whether it comes to their education, to relationships, to how they're handling money, to any of these different areas where it's like, I got this, I'm good. That does not mean that just because they're not making disastrous decisions or they're like totally bombing their test or anything else like that, that doesn't mean you just step out and go, okay, they're good. I guess they don't need any kind of help. Because it's not just about getting them to accomplish whatever their immediate tasks are. It's also about the mindset and the way that they are approaching life that you want to be paying attention to. And having a willingness to seek help and to accept it when it's offered is a critical component for a long-term healthy life. It may not be a critical component for your child to be able to get through, say, their educational program. But if that's the only measure of your life, you're going to end up handicapping your child. You want to help them to be intentional to develop a mindset and a practice of receiving help. They need to be involved in something significant enough that they can't do it without someone's help. That doesn't have to be yours. It can be someone else's. But your child always needs to be involved in something that is significant enough they can't do it all on their own. All right, let's look at the other point that we talked about, and that is, how do we have those conversations with someone when we need their cooperation? Now, obviously, the younger that your children are, the more they're going to be dependent on you for your cooperation. And that continues even throughout their adolescent years. Hey, mom, dad, you know, I need to borrow the keys. Can I use the car? All of that kind of stuff. But what you also want to pay attention to is, how are you training them and teaching them how to ask for that kind of help? You want to be thinking not just in terms of what works for you as a parent, but what's the process that they are learning that will work well in life. If it becomes a matter that you basically teach your kid, not because you sit down and like say, okay, today we're going to learn how to whine to get our way. I mean, I've never met a parent who does that, but I've seen plenty of parents who teach their children to whine to get their way, because you see, what we allow, we teach. It's not just what we say we teach, it's what we allow that we also teach. When a parent allows a child to whine until they wear their parent down so they finally get what they want, they are teaching that child a way of asking for what they want. And it might work kind of, sort of, for you and your family. It is not going to be a good way for that child to go throughout life. Okay, I'll just try to get what I want because I'll whine and I'll complain and I'll wear somebody down. Not going to work well in adult life. So think in terms of, how are you teaching your child, not just by what you instruct, but probably even more importantly, by what you allow. How do they ask for other people's cooperation and approval when they need it? Something else that you can do is to role play. Don't just say to your 10-year-old who needs to go in and talk to the teacher because they didn't feel like their teacher graded their paper fairly. Don't just say, well, you're going to have to go in and talk to your teacher about that. I mean, what 10-year-old really has that kind of life experience? Instead, sit down with them and role play that conversation. You can make it easy. You can make it hard. You can do a variety of different approaches with that. But it teaches them how to do something. It doesn't just say, you know, go out there and somehow make it happen. Now, notice, I am not advocating that you go in and talk to the teacher for them, at least not initially. Have your child do that. You want them to be an empowered person. But don't just throw them out there. That's not the only way that you teach a person to be empowered. You don't just throw a kid into the water and say, okay, learn to swim. Do I know that there are parents that have done that? Yeah, bad idea. Really, really bad idea. Not the way to teach a kid how to swim. That doesn't mean you have to be in the pool wearing floaties with them for 3 years to get them to swim. But don't just throw them out in the deep end and say, well, sink or swim, kid. But sometimes we do that when it comes to these other types of things that kids need to learn. So how do you then help them learn without becoming that parent who's going to go do that for them? Role play. It's a fantastic way to do that. Not only can that be helpful for your children when they are young, but this is something that you can offer. Again, offer is the key word here. When they're adults, maybe they need to go have a conversation with that boss about giving them a pay raise or changing something in their work. You can say, hey, would it be helpful for us to role play that conversation? Well, if you've been doing that for a lot of years, it's not going to feel weird. Now, if this is new to you and you've never done this before, don't think, well, if I didn't start doing it when they were two, I guess I can't do it anymore. You can offer to help with this at any age. And one of the benefits of doing this kind of role play, is it teaches our children how to learn to think through someone else's mindset, how to see through someone else's perspective. And that's one of the most important characteristics that all of us need to develop in our own selves. And so we can help our children to develop that through the simple activity of role-playing conversations. And they then might go, oh, I didn't realize that when I said this, it could come across like that, because that's not what I'm trying to say. Role playing is a very powerful way of teaching our children how to ask, how to have those bold asks that we talked about last week, and then how to ask for someone's approval and blessing. The last thing that we talked about is also something that kids will encounter throughout life, and that is when you're going to tackle something that God has put in your heart to do, when you're going to go after something that is one of your desires, expect resistance. Any two-year-old is acquainted with this if they have a sibling, because they set out to build this amazing tower and they've got their younger sibling who sees it and thinks, awesome, you built that just for me. Oh, I can't wait to come in there and knock it down. They learn resistance happens pretty easily. And so we don't want to have our children go through life thinking that every time that they're going to set out to do something, that resistance is something that should shock them. Rather to say, okay, so what kind of resistance are you going to run into? And then how are you going to respond to that? And that begins by navigating with them. How do you respond when you're 3 years old and your younger sibling comes in and knocks over the tower that you just took 20 minutes to build? We don't want to say, oh, well, you just always have to be the one to understand. Don't get upset about that, blah, blah, blah. We don't apply that same mentality when we're 42 and we've worked really hard on a project and then somebody else comes in and takes all the credit for it and leaves us with nothing but a bunch of broken promises laying on the floor. So we need to think in terms of how can we teach our children that, to be intentional about expecting. What do you do with that? Well, when that three-year-old starts building that tower in the middle of the floor, right there where the baby is, we can begin even with little ways by saying, you know, you might want to think about building that somewhere else, because that's going to be a pretty big temptation for fill in the blank of little crawling toddler who likes to tear down towers. Let's see if you can build that somewhere else instead. Learn to think ahead and be prepared for the resistance that's going to come. Now, that might seem silly, but if we develop this mindset of thinking ahead and preparing for resistance when it comes, it grows with us. And when we're no longer dealing with towers of blocks that get knocked down, but far more important things in life, we've built a mindset that doesn't fall to pieces because somebody comes along and resists what we are trying to do. Here again, this is an area where we can role play as our kids get older and as they step out to accomplish things so that we don't set them up to think everybody's going to be their cheerleader. Just because we are doesn't mean everybody else is going to come alongside. And we don't need to vilify everybody else who doesn't come alongside and support their big idea. That's not an effective way to go through life, but rather to say, how can you best prepare for the resistance you're going to encounter and not allow it to demoralize or to distract you so that you never accomplish what God's actually given you the ability and the opportunity to do? All right, my friend, this work that you are doing as a parent, caregiver, educator, it is incredibly important work. And as I close every podcast episode, this is exponentially true for you and the life that you are shaping. Remember this, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.